سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The first point to understand that I mentioned yesterday is that life is a blessing and it should be treated as a blessing. And the second thing was that in order to understand life, it has to be understood in its entirety. In its entirety. The life of that, the short span of life we live here, and the eternal life that we live after death. When we take both of these into account, then you understand what is life and what's the meaning of life. If a person wants to understand and comprehend the meaning of life in this world without understanding the life that is after we die, then he will not be able to comprehend it. He will be confused. He will be perplexed. That's why you see that many authors, many thinkers, many philosophers who try to understand the life of this world just here without the life which is this extension of this life, or really what's coming after this life, which is also life. You see that they end up in a confused state, and the question mark always remains, what is life? What is the meaning of life? Everyone's looking for the meaning of life, but without having the picture of our whole life, it doesn't make sense. For example, if someone wants to understand life in this world by looking at childhood, our days of childhood, you see that just looking by that and trying to understand the meaning of life, then obviously life is just fun and games. You know, if you just look at the meaning of life as a child, it's all fun and games. You know, there's no responsibilities. You're not responsible for what you do. You're just happy-go-lucky and doing whatever you want. You're not responsible for it. It's all fun. But why? Because we're just looking at it. So if I say the meaning of life is fun and games, then that's because I'm just looking at the life of my childhood. Now when you come to adulthood, there are responsibilities. You're responsible for what you do. You're accountable. You're liable for what you're doing. So that's different. It's completely different. Now you see the whole meaning changes then. Right? The same way, you see, Allah has characterized the life of this world. And he says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوًا وَلَعِبٌ. The life of dunya is just fun and games. That's all it is. Why? Because he's just looking at our childhood. Our little portion of our life that we live here in this world. It is actually fun and games. This life is just fun and games. It's there for us to enjoy. Right? That's what it's there for. That's what Allah is saying in the Quran. He's defining it. Why? He's looking at it then only as the life of dunya. The life of this world, that's it. Not more than that. Just one thing I will say before I go on from here, if you send aloud salawats. you know, the first factor in being happy and enjoying life, before we get the motivation or the drive to live our life, before even that, the first thing that you need to enjoy life and to find happiness in life is to give value to life, to attach value to life. If you don't attach value to life, then you will not be able to find happiness in life. This life that you have, is it valuable? Is it precious? If it's precious to you, if it's dear to you, then you will find happiness in it. You will find enjoyment in it. You will find yourself just loving to live it. That's what will happen if you attach value to it. A lot of times we don't attach value to life. We attach value to the pleasures in life. Understand the difference, my friends. I alluded to this yesterday, I think. But I just want to explain a little bit here. Instead of attaching value to life, what we do is that we attach value to the pleasures of life. For example, I got a job, right? I'm happy. I'm excited. You see? Or, for example, I got a wife, so I'm happy and excited. I got a house. I'm happy. I'm excited. I got the car of my dreams. I'm happy and I'm excited. So what we are doing is that our life is not becoming better. Our life is the same. But we are attaching importance and value to the things and the pleasures of life instead of life itself. A person who attaches importance and value to the pleasures of life instead of life, he needs these things in order for him to be happy. If he doesn't get them, you will see they go in a state of depression. Because they attached importance to the pleasures of life instead of life itself. And that's why you see that a lot of people, they are depressed. Not because, for example, they don't have things. Well, they have things, but they want more things, and to them, happiness is in these things. Instead of realizing that, listen, I don't need anything for life to be great. Life itself is great. Life itself is great. Why am I not enjoying life? Just the fact that I live itself is a pleasure. We fail to find the pleasure in the blessing of life. People, you see here, when you look at Hollywood, Hollywood tries to give you an idea that, you know what, happiness and what is happiness and just life itself, you should lead it with a high spirit. Just enjoy life. Even though that their idea is misconstrued, but the basis is correct. The basis is correct, even though what they want, what they mean by it, is misconstrued, because when they are saying live life to the full, it means get all the things that you can, get all the pleasures you can while you're alive here. Instead of meaning that, listen, I'm alive, I should take full advantage of the fact that I'm alive. This is the actual meaning that we want to achieve. And I think this is an enough introduction to the subject that we are discussing. So let me go on from what I was saying yesterday. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yeah. Now you know someone who enjoys life, huh? No worries. Right? Now if you see an adult doing that, people are like, what's wrong with him? That's what happens. But alhamdulillah, you know that just by looking at childhood, you can't define life. Allah defines it that way for us. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So what we are saying is this, right? That when we want to use our imagination, this is why I want you to start thinking. When you want to use our imagination and our mind, just think and reflect. What do you want out of life? I'm raising these questions so that I'll make you think so that we can answer them. You know, this is the member of the Prophet. And the member of the Prophet is not just to raise the issues, unlike the podium, where its scholarly efforts are known by raising issues and raising questions and doubts. The member is to raise the issue so it can be answered. And so that you can find an answer in your life. So I'm just raising the issues right now so we can answer them. What do you want out of life? What is life to you? What do you want to be? What do you want to be? Can you paint a life for yourself that you can imagine? What is it that you want? Just, you know, I mean, don't reflect on it. Don't try to make up an answer. Don't try to justify an answer. This is being dishonest. Really, in your inside self, what do you want? Naturally, instinctively. What is it that you want in life? Just imagine that. It's very important for us to imagine these things in order that we have a true picture of our goals and our inner goals. You know, for example, we say that Islam has given us a goal that, you know what, our Imam Zamana is going to come and he's going to establish the world. So, you know, for example, when we ask a mu'min who, for example, you know, is not truly honest with himself and say, so what is your goal? I want to get ready for Imam Zamana. Youngsters especially, when you look at the mirror, what do you see? What do you see when you look at the mirror? Well, you look at an image of ourself. Good. You look at an image of ourself, right? But now I want you to analyze it a little bit deeper. What do you really see when you look in the mirror? Do you really see what you are? Or do you see what you want to think about yourself? You see, when you look in the mirror, we see that instinctively we want to look at all the good points in us so that we angle our face to make sure that we look the way we want to see ourselves look. Right? Not how well we are. What the mind does is that it justifies defects. It justifies our weaknesses so that we ignore it and that we look at what we want to see. It deceives us. And it happens to people who have learned to be dishonest in their lives. With their own self, not with others. With their own self, they're dishonest. And it's very important for us to be honest with ourselves to see that, who am I? What am I? Am I really looking at what I am? Or am I looking at an image that I want to see in myself? You know, so whenever you look at a mirror, you see a handsome face. Right? You see a handsome face because you want to see yourself handsome. No one wants to see themselves as ugly. Right? You want to see yourself as handsome. Hence, that's what you would imagine. That's what you would take in. You would comprehend that. Unless we become honest with ourselves and say, no, let me really look at who I am. A story for the elders. The youngsters might get it also. Right? There's an incident that was mentioned in a book I read a long time ago. It's a book written by a Sufi, Fariduddin Attar. He wrote a book called Mantiq-ut-Tayr. Mantiq-ut-Tayr is a very interesting book. It's about, you know, a group of birds wanting to meet their creator, and everyone making up excuses why they don't want to make the journey. And one of the birds is answering them, why you should, and knocking off their false pretenses and excuses. So in that, there's one incident that he mentions, very, you know, interesting, you know. This guy falls in love with this woman, and he, whenever he was with her, he would just stare at her. He would just glare at her, and she would get the pleasure of him staring at him. And as he would glare and stare, and she would be happy that he is paying attention to her, one day he asked her a question. Hey, you got a mole on your cheek. I never noticed that. You know, you got a mole on your cheek. I never noticed that. You know what she said? She said, all right, you know what? That's it between us. You go home and that's it. Don't ever meet me again. Said, why not? But I love you. I want to meet you. He said, no, you used to love me. Now you don't see me. Now you see the other things in me. You see, until he used to see her, he never noticed the mole. But once he lost interest in her, that's when he noticed the mole. A lot of times we have to see where our true beliefs are. What we really think. So when I ask you, what do you want in life? What is it that you really want in life? I want you to think very basic, very instinctive. What is naturally that you want in life? And then I'll tell you what I want. You know, I'll tell you what you want in life. Not that I want to impose it on you. But you agree with me if you agree. Right? What do you want in life? But one thing I'll say as a prelude, and then you understand it from there. Whatever you want in life, and the reason I'm saying this, my friends, is this. Use your imagination, not your thinking. Use your imagination. You see, our aql is different than takhayyul. Our intellect is different than our imagination. Let me explain the difference between the two if you send the loud salawats. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. You see, whenever we want to learn something or we want to teach something, you do not start with the aql. You don't start with intellect. You don't start with intellect because the intellect will start knocking things down. What you start with is imagination. That's why when you, for example, want to teach your children, you start off with what? Imagination. Because imagination has no restrictions. You can imagine the impossible. Imagination have no confines. It's unlimited. That's why whenever you read children's book, you will see that they dwell on imagination. They try to make their imagination work first. Long, long time ago in a kingdom, this and that, you know, their imagination is like going out. Now, if you say it historically, oh, in history there was a kingdom, you know, like, oh, there was, how was it? You know, there's restrictions there. But what you do is that you play on your imagination, so that imagination can take you far. Imagination takes you further than your aql can. And that's why, even in Islam also, when you want to learn Islam, Allah tickles and teases your imagination before He comes to your aql. It is mustahab for us to teach our children when they are 3 years old the dhikr of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is mustahab. Whenever a child is 3 years old or so, in his toddler age, teach him this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why is this mentioned? It's because لا قوتا, لا حول ولا قوتا إلا بالله. This is an unlimited power of Allah. So that child, when he's listening to this, his mind is going towards the infinite. It goes towards the infinite. Right at the beginning, use your imagination. And you go for the infinite. That's why whenever Allah wants to teach us about aqaid, He teaches us through our imagination. When He teaches about Jannat, He says, this is Jannat for you. So, I mean, is it our aql that He's trying to appeal to? Not our aql. He's trying to appeal to our imagination. Look at this. You know, Hurul Een. One hair of Hurul Een, if it falls on the earth, then you will not have any interest in anyone in this world. You're like imagining, wow, what is that? You know? Imagine this. You will have palaces so big that no matter how far you travel, you cannot reach the end of it. Just imagine this. This is imagination. Aql cannot comprehend it. Aql and intellect cannot comprehend it. It's the imagination that's at work. Allah wants to appeal to imagination first. He says, use your imagination when it comes to Allah, when it comes to whatever is in your life. Use your imagination. So now, when we want to use our imagination, how do we use it? Let me explain that if you send aloud salawats. Someone who is a slave of dunya, and a slave meaning that who worships dunya, the life of dunya, that's it. You will see that his goals and his objectives in life are also very small. Very low goals he has in life. He doesn't have big goals. He doesn't let his imagination rule. He has very small goals in life, realistic goals. Very goals in life. What's your goal in life? Yeah, I want to retire well. I want to get a pension. That's your goal in life? You know? I want to have a happy retirement. What? That's your goal in life? You know, really imagine this. I remember when I was, you know, when I was on my way to the Hausa, and my relatives were vehemently against it. And, you know, they're saying that, what? You're going to ruin your life. You're going to destroy your life, you know. All my uncles and this and that, they're all educated doctors and this and that, you know. And I was going to be a doctor also. And the fact is that they said, you know, you're going to destroy your life and this and that. Think about your future. Think about your future. That was the advice they were giving me. You know, as I was leaving, you know, one of my aunts called me and said, think about your future. Why are you doing this to yourself? I said, I am thinking about my future. Right? My future is when I'll be lying in the grave next to you. And that will be my future. I am thinking about your future. You are not thinking about the future because you're thinking about your retirement. That's not your future. That's the present. You know, there's the future. Think a little bit more. Deeper. Further. You see, a lot of people just think here, right here. Let me give you some bad news. Right? Let me give you some bad news first, alright? Would you like it if the Prophet turned his back towards you? Would you like it if the Prophet of Allah turned his back towards you? You know, Maulana, when does the Prophet do? He never did that in his life, you know, this and that. He always has a good akhlaq. Yes, when he was here and he had to deal with people, then yes, he will deal with you. Even if you're a munafiq, he will deal with you. To guide you, to give you the message, to do hujjat on you, he will deal with you. But now he's in the akhirat, he's living in that realm, now he doesn't have to show his akhlaq. Now he'll turn his back on someone. So obviously, we don't want the Messenger of Allah to turn his back on us, do we? That's a question. No, right? No, we will not want that. Let me read this hadith for you. Who does the prophet turn his back on? Hadith that says, fa'arid, meaning turn your back onto someone. Amman tawalla an dhikrina. Turn your back on someone who has turned his back on our remembrance. Meaning the remembrance of Ahlul Bayt. First, who are these people? Anyone who turned his back on the remembrance of Ahlul Bayt, on the dhikr of Ahlul Bayt, you turn your back on them. Why? Who are these people? He explains that. He says, وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. He said that they don't want anything but the life of dunya. That's it. They only look at the life of dunya. They do not look at akhirat. Anyone who looks at life just saying that this life of dunya is life and nothing else, then Rasulullah is turning his back on those people. So the first thing we have to understand is that when you look at life, you look at the complete life. You look at your complete life. This is the first thing. In order to understand life. Otherwise, those who just look at this life and that's it, to them this is it, there's nothing else. That's all it is. And he says, ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. He says, in English, I'll translate it, this one. It says, ذَلِكَ الْمَبْلَغُ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. This sentence in English means, that's all they got out of knowledge. Meaning that's all they understood. They haven't understood anything else. Meaning with the knowledge that has been given to them, all they understood is this life and that's it. That's all they got out of ilm. So you turn your back to them. Rasulullah turns his back to that person who just looks at this life and nothing else. So for us, when we want to understand life, let's look at both here and there together as one life. It is one life, my friends. In fact, I feel ashamed to divide it into two parts. Really, I feel like not right dividing it into two parts. I mean, what is 60 years compared to an infinity? What is 60 years compared to eternity? Nothing. But he divides it. All right. So we say this life and that life, right? So let me from here just give you this last point, and for today, inshallah, it will be enough. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So my friends, the first thing what we want out of life, naturally, instinctively, and you think about it. You have the whole night and day to think about it. What is the first thing that any human being wants in life? The first thing that they want in life, my friends, naturally, not out of teaching, not out of Islam, I'm saying this. Just naturally, what you want out of life is that you want life to be forever. Think about it. Isn't it true? That we don't want to die. We don't want this life to end. We want to live forever. Right? The first thing we want out of life. Allah, God, whatever you call Him, I don't want to die. People want to live, they don't want to die. They don't want to finish this life, they want to go on with life. That's the first thing that you want. You want proof of it? You can go to the health clubs and see. Wow, people running. All these people are running for what? Right? They're running because they don't want to die. How many people are running away from death? Right? They don't want this life to end. The idea is that you don't want life to end. You want life to go on. The natural instinct in human beings is that they do not want to die. They don't want to die. They don't want to finish. They don't want to end this life. They want to continue it. They want it to be forever. People are trying to find potions and all kinds of sciences in order to live forever. You know, you see people, you know, freezing themselves, thinking that one day, you know, the science is going to come out with something that's going to make them alive again. You see all these things happening. Why is it? Because of the natural instinct to live forever. This is what it is. We want to live forever. You know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam had said, you know, I'm surprised at those people, is what he said. I'm surprised at those people who fret and worry over the loss of money, and yet they don't worry and fret over the loss of time. I mean, when they lose money, they're like, oh my God, my money is gone. When they get into an accident, my God, look at this car. You know? And like, so worry. But days go by, months go by, and they're not worried about the time that is being lost. And time is more important. This is what's worrying you. This life is important. Why aren't you fretting over the loss of this time that you have? This is what's more important. See the emphasis that he's trying to give. The emphasis is trying to give. To us, you know, many times we see, when you look at life, you know, now you all of you are here, youngsters, but the olders, I'm talking about them. You know, you look at your high school pictures, graduation, pictures of college, you know, you being wild, and you tell your children, you don't even know what we did. You know, you look at those times and say, man, these were the good old days. These were the good old days. So your old days were good, meaning then. Well, what about now? What about now? Aren't they good? Why is it that the good old days were in the past and not in the present? Why is it that? Tell me. This is a very sad life to live, my friends. Very sad. That when our best days are behind us. This is a very sad way to look at life. When our best days are behind us, you should be thinking my best days are ahead of me. When your grandchildren will tell you, Grandpa, you're 70 years old, what do you mean they're ahead of you? He says, don't you know? My best days are ahead of me. This is nothing. This is nothing, my friends. This is what we need to imagine. This is a sad life when you think that the best days are behind you. Don't think like that. Life is much better than that. Your best days are ahead of you. This is the attitude of a mu'min, someone who understands life. Man, my best days are ahead of me. That's why I'm smiling right now. If my best days were behind me, I'll be sad looking at my old pictures and, you know, things. You know? I know, the thing that, you know, I never had a, inkling for taking pictures. Like, my wife does. You know, she takes pictures all the time. I'm not interested taking pictures, you know. No, it's for memory. Memory of what? Right? I mean, you know, we are just growing better. You know, if I had a camera that would take the picture of my future, I would buy that camera. You see, that's what we want. We want a better future, my friends. Look at that way. That is the way of looking at life. So Allah says, listen, I didn't create you so that I can take this life away from you. Your imagination, your love for life, I will not let this natural instinct that you have and this love you have for life go away. You will live forever. You see, the first thing Allah says when He takes a person to Akhirat and to Jannat, the first thing He says, right? Before He says congratulations or Alhamdulillah, whatever. The first thing Allah says when He takes you to Jannat is فَدْخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. Enter here forever. Now you will live forever. Live. No one's going to do anything to you now. Live here. My friends, this is life. That's what you should be looking at. Life is forever. We're not here to die. Allah's not going to take this away. Don't be surprised, you know. When we die, we'll be like, wow, I'm dead. One example I'll give in my speech. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One example I'll give, you know. When you die, what happens? You know, the same thing happens when you are born. You know, can you imagine a life that's so restricted, that's so dark? You know, 9 months we lived in the womb of our mothers. 9 months. And that was life for us. That was our dunya, that was our world. We were eating, we were doing our business. We're happy there. Right? We're all happy there. And then all of a sudden, we come out and we see light. Hey, we see light. We're scared. And we start to cry. This is something new for us. You know, baby's crying because everything is new for that baby. He's not used to it. And again, Umadat is hard, so was birth. You know how hard was it for you to come out of that womb? There's a lot of pressure on you. A lot of burden on you, and you came out. But when you came out into a world that is much bigger and much more unrestricted than what you had in the womb of your mother. And just like that, when you go in the akhirat, death is just like that. There's pressure, there's burden, but when you get through it, then you'll see a world that is much bigger and better and more unrestricted than what you had here. So we should be looking for that life, a life without restrictions, a life without confinements. That is a life, Allah is saying, I want you to live forever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq and a blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad. Any questions? Yes, Akhi.
I don't believe that people would be clubs to live forever. They would be clubs to be healthy.
Clubs? Yeah, health is for what? What is health for? To live longer. Right? Cardiovascular, to live longer. Weights, to make your muscles bigger so you can live shorter. Weights are different than cardiovascular. Cardiovascular is to improve your heart's health so that it can tick for longer. Ultimately, that if you go and ask them, right? Ask each one of them, you will see, you know, honestly they will say, it is, because we asked, you know. I go to the club also to exercise. And, you know, I go there, I ask the people, so what do you exercise? Man, this, you know, you work out, heart's better, you live longer. If you can live for one day, you know how much people will pay to live one extra day? No, of course not. Implied that? No, I don't think that's implied that way.
Just a second, Maulana.
If anyone's in medical school, right, they're not going to leave Maulana. Medical school today.
I'm sorry, Maulana, but everybody is not understanding what the question is.
Okay.
Please, if you repeat the question.
The question is that, you know, it might be implied that when I said that you look into your future, when you do things and this and that, so those people who are in medical school will drop out of it and go to the house and become, everyone becomes ulama. No, that's not what I said. Right? That's not the meaning of that. Of course not, you know. The issue is that you're always going to drop out of school or do anything like that. All I'm saying is that whatever you do, do it with your future in mind. You see, the difference is this. And this is for everyone here, right? Do you want to become a doctor, engineer, lawyer, architect, IT field, business, whatever you want to do? If you're just looking at this dunya, you're not interested in knowledge, you're interested in a degree. You're interested in a degree. Doesn't matter if you learn or not. As long as you get a degree, that's it. That's why you get your job. The rest of the things that train you at job, everyone knows it. Right? In fact, you don't need to know anything. I know people who haven't even been to high school, they are senior techs. Right? Working in different places. Right? Senior techs. And they have no clue about how to open a computer. Right? All you need to do is have a resume and know how to give an interview. You get a job, and then there are people, tech support, that work independently that you can call them for any tech. They will come onto your computer and do everything for you. You just pay them. Right? That's how you do things. Everyone knows that. To get a job, you just need a degree. You don't need education. You don't need education to get a job. Right? When you look at your real future, then you don't want to go to get a degree. Degree means nothing. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to know. This is different. You see, that's the difference when you look at your real future and when you look at your temporary future. Temporary future, you just want a job so you can get by the next 30, 40 years and retire. Right? But your real future, you want to learn because you want the knowledge that is given to you, that is around you. You want to learn. This is the difference. And that's why a mu'min who understands life is the best student in the classroom. Because of the fact that he really wants to learn. He wants the knowledge so that he can understand and comprehend it and be the best that he can be. This is a hadith we have, you know, from the Imam. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, he had said when someone came to him and said, you know, how do we know if there's a Shia in any place? I mean, nowadays we have internet, yellow pages, white pages, look it up, you know, any Shia name. You say, okay, are you a Shia? You can call him up, right? Or you can go to the masjid, this and that, you know, all these things, right? In those days when they didn't have these things, so they came to Imam and said, how do we know if there's a Shia in this city or not? Yeah, he said, you know, look in that city and hear what the people say. And whoever the people regard as the best person in that city, look at him. If he's a Shia, then be it. If he's not a Shia, then it means there's no Shia in that community. In that, if there's a Shia anywhere, he has to be the best person there. If you want to see a Shia in a classroom, he is the best student in the classroom. That's a Shia. That's a mu'min. That's someone who believes in Ahlul Bayt, who has the understanding of life. You are the best at what you do. Right? Not the second best. You are the best. And that's what you strive for. You strive for excellence. Right? This is what we want. Yes, sir?
You said that the worst thing that could happen is if the Prophet turned his back on him. You said the only case that would happen is if he turned his back on Ahlul Bayt.
No, they don't turn their back on Ahlul Bayt. Sunnis love Ahlul Bayt. Right? They don't have the right maqam for them, but they do love them. Yes, there are certain Wahhabi elements and Salafis, you know, who have hatred, but that's different. Right? Those are the people that talk about. But Ahlul Sunnah, they love and regard Ahlul Bayt. You know, I mean, I have a lot of friends of mine who are Sunnis, and they love Ahlul Bayt. In fact, they have, like Majalis in Muharram for Ahlul Bayt. They really know how the Latmiyas in Ahl, you know, for Ahlul Bayt. You know, Sunnis I'm talking about. You know, the fact is that, you know, they love Ahlul Bayt. It's just certain group of elements that we see nowadays, you know, that, you know, who are, you know, working to make the people and, you know, who have this hatred for Ahlul Bayt. But that's always the, you know, like for example, what we call the Nasibis, right? Nasibi and this and that, those are the people. But Ahlul Sunnah, no, you know, they love Ahlul Bayt. Right? They have all the respect for Ahlul Bayt. Anything else? Alhamdulillah, I think that's good. How about sisters? Any sisters have questions? Right, it's open for everyone now, inshallah.
Inshallah, we'll follow with dua al-iftitah and then